Bibles this morning to the book of John, chapter 19. John, chapter 19. One verse this morning. John 19 and verse 30. Three simple words, but oh, what they mean, what they represent. Here Christ is hanging on Calvary. He has bled and suffered. He experienced the Lord Father turning His back upon Him. The sun darkened, and for the time upon the cross He bore all of our sin and iniquity upon Himself. And we find in verse 30, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, He said, "It is finished." And He bowed His head and gave up the ghost. It is finished. Let us pray. Dear Lord God, Almighty in heaven, we're thankful for this time we have to gather with Your people. Lord, we pray You open our hearts to this Scripture in a great way. Give us a greater, richer, deeper, fuller understanding of this Thy precious Holy Word and what Jesus, our Savior, did for us. We pray any lost in our midst that You might be pleased to move upon them, that they might know for their own soul, for their own sake, for their own being in regards of knowing You as Lord and Savior, that they know personally, individually, it is finished by what Jesus did for them. We're so thankful to know. We're thankful for each other ones that know what Jesus accomplished and did to be our Savior. Bless us now as we look into this Word. Get all honor and glory and praise. Give us grace and ability beyond ourselves, Lord. We are but a feeble folk. And we look to You in all things. In Jesus' name we pray. And amen. It is finished. There's so much more in these three little words than the fact that Jesus then died. The fact that what Christ had done on the cross was over. The fact that He had come and this last statement, Jesus only made seven statements from the cross. This is the last one. It is finished. Oh, the wonder, the blessedness, the awesomeness of these three little words. It is finished. We want to focus on this thought for a few moments this morning. And again, if you're not saved, we encourage you to listen to us most carefully. If you're here today and are saved, to rejoice with me and let us realize in an even greater way what it meant for Jesus to make this statement. The last words of Jesus before His death, it is finished. We find that in this statement, all the prophecy concerning Christ's suffering for our sin, all the Old Testament prophecies about the Lord coming and being our sacrifice and the chastisement of our peace put upon Him, and by His stripes we're healed, and all that Christ was prophesied hundreds of years before Jesus proclaimed on the cross of Calvary here, it is finished. That's what was finished. All the prophecy that God ever spoke about what Jesus would do to suffer for our sins was complete. It was done. It was accomplished. Look at what it says in verse 28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, all that was absolutely necessary to be done for Jesus to be our Savior was accomplished. It's finished. You know, the Bible tells us that the end of a thing is better than the beginning. The birth of Christ was wondrous. The miraculous virgin birth was a glorious thing, a wondrous thing. Christ was born of a virgin, the seed of the Holy Spirit of God. He was Emmanuel, God in the flesh. And what a wondrous birth we have to consider for Christ coming into this world. Christ's life was wondrous, amazing. All His teachings, all that He ever did, all the miracles and everything, it was all wondrous. But to come down to this point and for the Lord to be able to proclaim, "It is finished." Oh, beloved, how glorious, how wondrous for us to consider. We go back to Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53. Verse 4. Isaiah 53 and verse 4. Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And with His stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. And when Jesus said, "It's finished," it is finished. All of that was done. All of that was fulfilled. All of that was accomplished for wretched sinners such as you and I. It is finished. When Jesus said from the cross of Calvary, "It is finished," it meant that all the payment of our redemption was then marked, it was then stamped, paid in full, paid to the uttermost, paid completely, absolutely, totally. No more debt, no, the payment of sin to buy us out of the bondage of our condemnation. Paid in full. Complete. Oh, I tell you what, I'm sure all of us have made purchases in this world that we've had to make payments on. And it's always nice when you get down to that last one. Whether it be an automobile or a house or some such thing. And you make that payment and you get that receipt stamped paid in full. Beloved, that's what Jesus was saying when He said, "It is finished." Paid in full. All the payment for our redemption. The word redemption is a word meaning to buy back, to purchase from. And beloved, when Christ said, "It is finished," the purchase price was paid in full. When Christ said, "It is finished," it means absolutely every jot, every tittle, every line, every commandment. It means absolutely all the law had been fulfilled. All the law had been fulfilled. I've often wondered at people who have the idea they're going to save themselves by commandment keeping. Jesus ran into the rich young ruler who thought he'd kept the commandments from youth. But you ever stop to wonder how in the world people are going to keep 10 commandments perfectly when Adam and Eve couldn't keep one?
Adam and Eve couldn't keep one. All the Lord told, don't eat of the fruit of that tree. They couldn't keep one, and there's people foolish enough on our planet today to believe, well, I'm just going to keep the Ten Commandments, do the best I can, and I know the Lord's going to accept me. I know it's going to be all right by and by. Jesus is the only one who fulfilled the law of God perfectly, completely, absolutely. Jesus said in the book of Matthew chapter 5, verse 7, turn over here and read with me. Matthew chapter 5, verse 7. Excuse me, verse 17. Matthew 5, 17. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Beloved, when Jesus said from Calvary's cross, it is finished. He did it. He'd done it. It was complete. He'd kept all the law and all the prophets, all that was spoken, all that was needed, all that God Almighty in His holy, righteous judgment had declared must be. It was done. It was done. It is finished. When Jesus said it's finished, it means that once and for all, that sacrifice of suffering that God's holy righteous judgment demanded was finished. Complete. People today are somehow trying to pay for their own sins and works or gifts or deeds or sacraments or some such things. They're trying to pay that which they could never pay, that which Jesus has already paid. It is finished. We go over to the book of Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7. Verse 24. But this man, this one, this Jesus, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost. Now, beloved, there's just no being saved any more, any better, any fuller than to the uttermost. You can't get saved any more than that. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such a high priest became us who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heaven, who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once when he offered up himself. Once and for all. Once and forever. One and done. Jesus said, it's finished. Oh, he made the way for us to be saved to the uttermost. All the sacrifice that God's holy righteous judgment demanded, Jesus finished. Jesus fulfilled. When Jesus said it was finished and he gave up the ghost, you know, I like the way the scriptures word that. Because Jesus didn't just die. Jesus gave up the ghost. He told His followers earlier, I have power to lay down my life and I have power to take it up again. Jesus did not die 1 second, 1 moment, 1 minute before all was fulfilled. And it wasn't till Jesus could say and proclaim from the cross of Calvary, it is finished. It's done. It's complete. Can't be done anymore. Can't be done any better. Can't be done any fuller. And then He bowed His head and died. Which of us, how many of us have started things and never finished? How many of us have projects that we've gotten part three through, maybe mostly through, got distracted somewhere or another, got busy with other things? How many of us right now, and I'm glad women can't speak out or anything, but how many of us men around the house got our honey-do list that we know we've not completed? We may have made a start. We may have tried. We may have, but you know, we've always got something left to do, don't we? Jesus finished. Jesus got it done, absolutely, fully, completely. It is finished means that all the work, all the words, all the will of God Almighty, all the predetermined suffering that God required for us to have a Savior, for us to be able to be saved from the condemnation of our sin, it's all found full and complete. When Jesus said, it is finished. It is finished. The Bible tells us this over in Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. Here the disciples had been threatened and told to hush up about this Jesus and about His sacrifice and so forth. And Paul declares here He's the only way, the only means of salvation. He is not a way. He is not one of the ways. He's it. That's it. Nobody else. There's never been some other kind of prophet. Not Confucius, not Buddha, not Muhammad, not any that have ever completed what was needed to be done to save a single soul from eternal hell, fire, and damnation. Only Jesus. Only Jesus could say it's finished. We find here in Acts chapter 4 when they apostles were called before the council to give an account of healing of the lame man. Peter was filled with the Spirit of God, filled with the Holy Ghost. And he says this in verse 8. He said, you rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by Him does this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught at you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men. Now note this statement. Whereby we must be saved. Because only Jesus could proclaim, it is finished. There's none other name. There's none other man. There's no other way. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name unto heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And we find it wasn't till all was fulfilled, till all was done, just as God Almighty determined that it had to be, that Jesus died. We drop on down in this fourth chapter. The disciples go back to the church there and they meet with them and they declare what transpired. And then we have this account. Verse 27, it says, "For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done." And beloved, it wasn't till it was all done Jesus could declare from the cross of Calvary, "It is finished." It's done. It's complete. It's accomplished. "For to determine, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done." There was not one iota. There was not even a little bit. There was not even a microsecond of the Lord's suffering, of the Lord's payment for our sin, of the Lord fulfilling what God Almighty had determined to be done beforehand. That wasn't done. For Jesus said, "It is." When Jesus said it's finished, it means that all that was needed to satisfy the justice of God for the penalty, for the payment of sin had been accomplished. Look back in Isaiah 53 with me in verse 11. Isaiah chapter 53. Verse 10 and 11. Isaiah 53, verse 10 and 11. "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul..." Now understand, you know, when we talk about the cross, when we think about the cross, and we consider the cross, and we think about the crown of thorns beat down into his skull, we think about the nails put through his hands and his feet. We think about the old spear thrust up his side. We think about, prior to the cross, the band of soldiers that beat upon him and plucked his beard from his face. We think about the physical fact that his visage had changed so much through what he suffered. He was unrecognizable. Totally unrecognizable. But understand this. What the Lord paid, what the Lord suffered, went way, way, way beyond the physical. He made his soul an offering. I stand up here, I'll tell you plainly, I don't really fully understand what all that means. I think we'll spend eternity knowing, learning. But he made his soul an offering for our sin. Not just his body, not just his hands and his feet and his head and so forth. He made his soul. "It pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. Beloved, it wasn't finished till God Almighty was satisfied with the ultimate offering of the soul of His own begotten Son as a complete offering, sacrifice for our sins. When Jesus said, "It is finished," all, absolutely all that was required physically and of the soul of Jesus to completely make the sacrifice for our sin, all the justice and rightful judgment of God was satisfied. You know, people do things and so forth and they get self-satisfied. Brother Mel was preaching about the Pharisees. Pharisees were pretty full of self-satisfaction. But I tell you what, self-satisfaction doesn't mean anything. A lot of people today are self-satisfied. I've witnessed the folks that say, "Well, you know, I'm just doing the best I can and I'm pretty content with that. I believe bye-bye is going to be all right." It's not self that anyone needs to be concerned about being satisfied. It's the holy, righteous judgment of Almighty God that needs to be satisfied. And only Jesus accomplished that. And only Jesus was able to fulfill that on the cross of Calvary for you and for me. When Jesus said, "It's finished," He meant that all that was needed for Christ to be the propitiation was complete, was fulfilled. Look back in 1 John with me, chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. Verse 10, or let's start in verse 9. "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." The word propitiation means that Christ was the way that our sin has been forgiven and cleansed completely, absolutely, to the uttermost. God in His love sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And that propitiation was not complete till Jesus was able to say from the cross of Calvary, "It is finished. It's done." Oh, beloved, when Christ said, "It is finished," the gift of God was complete. It was fulfilled. Look back with me in John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Verse 16, probably the most well known. And this is kind of an ironic thing in a way. John 3:16 is probably the most well-known scripture in all the whole wide world. And yet, it is the most rejected scripture in all the whole wide world. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world. We didn't need any more condemnation. The Bible tells us down in verse 18, He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. We don't need any more condemnation. We needed a Savior. We needed relief. We needed deliverance from condemnation. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. When Jesus, realizing that all was fulfilled, all the suffering, all the payment, all that God demanded, all that was necessary to satisfy the holy righteous judgment of God had been accomplished. All that was necessary to be our propitiation. All that was necessary to be our Savior. All that was necessary that wretched sinners such as you and I could look forward to not eternal condemnation, but everlasting life. When it was all done, when it was all complete, Jesus was able to say, "It is finished." Oh, three little words. But the amazing, wondrous blessedness that's contained in those three little words. It is finished. Do you know Him today? Do you know that Jesus paid the price for you? Do you know that it's finished for you? Have you been convicted of your sin? Have you turned from yourself in sin? Have you trusted in what Jesus did? Just believing Jesus died for the world, but knowing Jesus died for you. And when He said it's finished, He finished it for you. Do you know that today? If you're here and you do know that today, oh, let's rejoice. Let's thank God. Let's surrender ourselves to the Lord. When you think of the price that was paid, you think of what Christ did, you think of all that Christ went through to be able to say it's finished, we can understand this verse. Let's go to Romans chapter 12 in closing. You know, some folks have the idea that what the Lord desires and commands us as His servants that, you know, man, that's a lot. That's a bunch. You know, that's just too restrictive. That's so great. That's just, you know, it's just more than we ought to have to deal with. It's such a burden. No, beloved. For us who've been saved, it's only reasonable what the Lord desires of us. It's not outlandish. It's not outrageous. It's not overtaxing. It's not something, you know, God just put too much weight on us. No, it's just reasonable. Romans 12:1 says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God," and it was all by the mercies of God that Jesus went to Calvary's cross, went through all that He did so He could say, just before He died, "It is finished." "That ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." It's not outrageous. It's not outlandish. It's not more than God should expect. Not more than we should ever expect to render. "That you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." Oh, we think of all that Christ did.
for our wretched old souls. Think of all the wondrous things that it meant when Christ said, "It is finished." It's certainly not unreasonable for us to present our lives to the Lord and say, "Here we are, Lord. Just use us. Just some way or another, let us be profitable under Your service. Lord, here we are. Just whatever You want of us, whatever we need to be for You, just help us be it. Just help us do it." Considering what Jesus did for us, it's just reasonable. It's just reasonable. May God bless you.